with your permission, Abby, we'll start the ninth. Yeah. We'll do this, and we'll call it a night. Bezvat Hashem, but it's a little long. The ninth trait of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, casting all the sins into the depth of the sea. Hashem chucks all of our sins, like Tashlich, into the sea. This is the source of why we do Tashlich. This pasuk going to the sea and symbolically throwing, and we say this pasuk. So what does that mean? Does God chuck our sins? When does he do that? How does he do that? The Torah of Ovid will explain. Zumi da tova l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is a great kindness. Shari Yisrael chatu. Because Jewish people sin. Misaram biyad paro v'shavu b'tshuva. But, and when we sin, we got placed into the hands of Pharaoh. Which is interesting. Because I might have thought that we got chucked to Mitzrayim because of Brisbane. I'm sorry. Because God promised Avram Avinu. But apparently, no, we deserve what happened to us. I don't know exactly why. Maybe it was the brothers selling Yosef and all that. Maybe it was Lashon Hara. Maybe it was Yevod Hazara. Maybe it was leaving Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. I can throw ideas out there. But apparently, if there's a punishment, there's a sin. And Pharaoh was punishing us. Lama Yanish Paro. So he's asking a good question. If Pharaoh is ultimately just a messenger of Hashem, so why is he punished? We actually just asked this in our free will class. The same question. Why? Any suggestions? What do you think? Why should God punish Pharaoh if he's just a messenger of God, so to speak? Exactly. So that's generally the answer given. You didn't have to be the messenger. Someone else would have been the messenger. So God's punishing you for your action. You are still responsible for your actions. But I'm not sure if that's the answer that the Torah is going to give. Let's see. Chen Sancheriv. Sancheriv, remember, he tried to wipe out the Jews by Yerushalayim, by the walls of Chizkiyahu. And he gets wiped out. Chen Haman. Haman, Vidomam, and all the enemies of the Jews. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu minachem v'avad lomar shavim b'tshuva. Im kein lo yelem od ra'a. Im kein istalek haman me'alem opara o'san cherev. So, Shem is like, well, they did tshuva. Why do we have to, you know, let bygones be bygones? Why do we have to punish the people who harm them? Anyway, they were instruments in my hand. But rather, it's kind of an act of mercy of God to punish the enemies of the Jews. It's, I mean, a little similar to maybe the feeling that, you know, the D's had recently, or maybe not the D's actually, the Yagels, the family that was killed in the terrorist attack. And Israel said they're going to get the terrorists, and they did. And they killed the terrorists like a month later. So obviously it's not full consolation, not even close. But they said there was a certain stone that was lifted from their heart. There's a certain feeling of like, it's just not right when someone does something wrong to you, and there's no punishment. So Hashem, the Rav Foreman explained, that's also why the Yam Suf turned bloody, turned red. It's Hashem's way of saying, I'm going to punish those who hurt you, and that makes naturally you feel less bad about the bad deed. So interesting, this din is also rachamim to the Jewish people of punishing their enemies. Interesting. Okay. Now, the reason that Hashem acts like this is the secret, the Kabbalistic secret of the goat carrying away their sins to the dry land, to the desert. We're referring to the procedure in Yom Kippur when we kill one of the goats and it dies. Seemingly like taking the sins of the Jewish people. So apparently, there's a secret that this is teaching us. Okay, so I'm not a Kabbalist, so I'm not going to guess that I'm not going to suggest that I really understand. I'll try to understand to the best ability what the Ramak is trying to tell us. Uperisho, Chaseir no Seavanot, Mamish. It seems like the goat literally takes the sins of the Jewish people on it. This is weird. How do we make sense of that? I'm sinning, and the sin goes to the goat. I mean, like, it's weird. How do we make sense of that? So we're going to try. See if we succeed. Ela amida yikach. It's like this. Adam mitzvadeh. A person does vidui. He says, I'm sorry. And I says, I'm sorry, Hashem. I want to start again. I want to get better. Indian Shamar David, like David writes, Harev Kapsini Me'avoni, purify me from my transgressions. You know, cleanse me. Chenu Amreinu Mechok Barachamech Arbid. And he writes in other places, erase with your great mercy my sins. That's funny. I was just talking about David Melech and the whole sin with Bathsheba. That's, he writes it, Tehillim Nun Aleph, right after that sin, right after his son dies. It feels like punishments are happening because of his sins. It's also interesting learning the word of Hashem Svatai Tiptach Yagit Yotecha is from that Maimar of Tehillim, where he's doing tshuva. Really interesting. Anyways. Eino mitpalel ele sheyu yusurim kalim tzaliyo iyo behem bitl Torah. So, obviously we are davening that God's punishments should be the types of punishments that are light. That there's no... The idea of the Gemara says that the ideal punishment is one that doesn't cost you to stop learning. Not so bad. Yeah, a little, you know, something, but you could still keep learning and davening and doing... That's considered a great punishment. And that, a bad punishment is when it disturbs you from doing mitzvahs. We don't want that. And that's what we mean when in the Hashamnu confession we say, listen, Hashem, I accept it. Whatever happened, you're righteous. You know, whatever pain I went through, it's from you, Hashem. When you do that, and you literally, you know, and we should do this. There's even a tefillah specifically about this. When we're experiencing pain, to say Hashem, thank you so much. You know, it that act is a great kiddush Hashem and actually atones. Right? I remember a few months back, I was zeicha to have I had a chavrusha in the morning, and then I lost and my scooter, which was brand new and very expensive, was stolen. And then I had to get to a class at Sela at Aardvark, that I was subbing for. And I told them it was a class about gratitude. So I had to pretend like I was happy and grateful. So I told them, so thank you, Hashem, for losing my scooter. And I have no idea why this is good for me, but thank you, Hashem, because it must be good. And they were very impressed. They made a roshim on them. And then, interestingly enough, at the end of the year, I gave them a tour of the same kids. And I bought a new scooter on that day. So it was like... It all went full circle. It was crazy. Anyways, so when we thank Hashem, say thank you, Hashem, for the hard thing, it atones for the sins. Okay? There's some sins that we just, unfortunately, death or pain has to, you know, atone for us. And by the way, pain doesn't have to be physical pain. Pain could be... anything. You know, you go to a wedding and, oh, my friend got married before me, and there's a 2 seconds of jealousy and pain, and then you remember, oh, I'm a Baal Amunah. Those 2 seconds could atone for who knows what sin I did today. So we don't put ourselves into situations of pain, but it's a bracha, it's a kapara. That's what we believe. Everything's a kapara. V'keni amida. Miyad shazeh mitvadeh b'tfilto. So immediately when I atone, when I admit in my davening, uperish of a zohar, but parshat pekudei, she chelak ke samachmen ke inasayir. First of all, I'll just point out that when I actually do tshuva and svardim have a custom to do tshuva every night before they go to bed. And Nusach Sfard does tshuva every day in Shachar Simin. Are we actually doing real tshuva and thinking about our sins, or going through the motions? That's a different story. But theoretically, we have an opportunity every day to do tshuva, and if we do tshuva sincerely, so then we don't need to go through the pain, because that's soul wrenching. It's saying we're going to get better, so then Hashem says, "Oh, right, so don't miss that opportunity. It's an amazing opportunity every night before you go to bed to look through your day, say what did I do wrong." And I remember the Shari Tshuva, which is a book written about Rabbeinu Yonah when he was doing tshuva, because he was running against the Rambam. And he wrote that you should burn the book to the Rambam. And he felt bad about that, so he does tshuva and writes a book about tshuva. So he writes that he used to, every day between meals, right before he would eat, he would do tshuva. So, like before breakfast and before dinner, take out his tshuva pad, think about anything bad he did, and literally, you know, say sorry to Hashem for it. So it's, I just had a cool hashgacha moment right now, because I wasn't sure if I... Interesting. Oh, never mind. It's still kind of a shkacha process, but I'm not sure why. Because I thought I brought my book, so I wouldn't have to take their book.
Yeah.
I still think that's what I did. But maybe they just have a few copies. Anyways, I don't know. But she just...
I think Arlie has
one also. Yes, anyways, lovely. Kitzer, the point is that it's a good thing every day to make a set time to do tshuva. Also, when you daven, it's a great time to do tshuva. On the tshuva, like, just be real. Just think about it. Good. Okay. Now we're going to talk about some Kabbalistic things. Now, the satan is represented by this sa'ir, by this goat. Malchaka, what's his portion? Shekhar Baruch Hu goes there, love you, sir. God decrees afflictions. But instead of punishing the person, God decrees the Satan, and the Satan's going to come, and the bad angels are going to collect their debt. And the goat carries the sins. That way, the Jewish people can do tshuva, and the sin takes the negative energy from the sin. The goat takes the negative energy from the sin, and the satan gobbles it up, so to speak. Pretty crazy idea, but that's what he said. That actually, all of the sins do go onto the goat. That way, the Jewish people have an opportunity to do tshuva out of God's mercy for us. Because it's not just a, probably most rationalist would say, it's a symbolic. But then, you know, the animal rights people will say, well, it's symbolism. I should kill a goat because of symbolism. So Tomer Devorah said, no, actually, that's the way Hashem created the world. And he's actually taking the Averos. Obviously, it's not the goat's fault because they don't have free will. But they're created to serve us. And this Seir is going to take our Averos, suffer, and we're going to be able to do truth. Pretty crazy. Vine. Akol yitgalgel al samach. So now it's all on the responsibility of the Satan. Because the way the world actually works is that anyone who does so will be annulled. Okay? So if you sin, you should immediately die. That's maybe what it says in Bereshit, when it says, on the day that you, God tells Adam, on the day that you eat from the tree, you shall surely die. So in other words, mitzad din, you really should die, because your essence is connected to God. But when you sin, like we said the first time, you're spitting on God. You're disconnecting yourself from Hashem. So the consequence is, okay, you're disconnected. The electricity has been unplugged. But how does the world work? Hashem acts with racham and switches the world. The world, you should know you should, but I'm going to function with racham. Okay? So he doesn't destroy us. That's why the animal is killed. And And interestingly, the Gemara says that you take a sword and you kill someone who deserved the Chayv Misa, deserved to die, but then you have to bury the sword. Because it had a mission, but once it finished its mission, it like took the negative energy on it, and we have to get rid of it. So these are all related to this concept of sometimes the negative energy can be transferred on to another thing. Pretty crazy. Okay. And this is now the Tzelem and Nebuchadnezzar. This is a crazy story in the book of Daniel. If you never read it, it's a really fun read. But some of it's in Aramaic, so get the Hebrew-English version. Lots of great stories. But one of them is about Nebuchadnezzar. Who, and the Jewish people are given to the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Rashi di Dahava. And its head was fine gold. Nechna'u Resha. The head is subdued. V'nimsru biad paras. And then we're given to the Persians. Shen chado yuzaro di kras. That's chest and arms are silver. Chenet chuelem ene ela ad she ardu yisrael aragloi mimnom di parzal minon di chasif. So, and then its feet, which were part iron and part clay. Umayir atach letetov. And what's going to be the good result of all this? In the end, God's going to punish all of these nations that tried to hurt us, which is symbolized by the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Jewish people won't get swallowed up. We're always going to survive. Those who harm us are going to get survived, but we're not going to survive. That's the pattern of Jewish history. By the way, when do we allude to that concept that there's all these nations tried to rise up against us? What song? Famous song? Pesach? Chagadiah. Chagadiah is all about all the nations trying to wipe us out, but then they all get wiped out and Hashem saves us. Badin da'aku chada nechasha kasma bedabu gu. They'll be crushed together, the copper, silver, and gold. Hine metchat chalatib umachas otzalma ad regloi. Ein mekol otzalma el raglav. Shekparin pavda kocham abuesha odroyu mimar v'im kol zebasof da'aku kachada. At first, it's trying to instruct the feet of the statue. There's nothing in the statue but its feet, because the power of its head, arms, and chest was annulled, and they were removed. Even so, in the end, they will be crushed together. God is going to punish all those who did wickedness to us. And he's going to throw away our sins, onto the bread. He's like taking our sins and putting it on the bread, and we're throwing it into the river. So, definitely makes that Tashlich experience more powerful. Whereas, you know, generally I would have explained, wow, it's just a mushel, just a inspiring. But now he's saying, no, it's like your sins are literally going onto the bread and flowing them into the river. I don't know, he didn't say that explicitly, but that's what you can mean. Year to Mashtech Kohachadim Ibaal Ade Elush and Mitzolas Yam. And God is going to take the wicked. The wicked are like the stormy seas which cannot be quieted, its waters cast up mud and mire. All those who punish the Jewish people are going to be punished. After God has punished us, so to speak, he feels bad for us. He loves us. And he's angry at those who punished us. Not only that, but I was a little angry and they went above and beyond, like the Ramban tries to explain. And that's also the way we should treat our friend. Even if you're a wicked person crushed by suffering, don't hate him. After he's experienced pain, he's like your brother. Let's say, theoretically, I see my chazen friend who was so mean to me, and I see no one's coming to his minyan. I see he's experienced a lot of pain. So I have more reason to forgive him and to be more loving, because look, he got what he deserved. should have mercy upon him, and in fact, help him out. Don't say, ah, God's punishing him. Say, have mercy upon him. And we'll end with one last story. So, and I'm getting this story from this beautiful kid. Imagine, as a kid, and I do the wake up in yeshiva every day. And this kid is a jerk to me. Every time I try to wake him up, I used to have this job. He's mean, he screams at me. I'm just trying to do a chesed, and he won't wake up for chakras. And then one morning, I see that this kid got into a car accident. And he's stuck in the hospital. So I could react and say, oh, he got what he deserved. Or what does the Torah Dover teach us to say? Hashem must have mechapered on his sins. Go visit the guy. Tell him, listen, Hashem's got getting rid of your sins. He's giving us a new opportunity to start again. And we should take this opportunity to have a new fresh start. Sometimes I experience it. After the pain, after you get sick, let's say, you feel it's almost like a closeness to God. Hashem should bless us to not have any Yisurim. To do full tshuva. And in the schluss of the last night of counting the Omer, should start again without kaparot. But if chas v'shalom, we have any pain in our lives, we should take it as an opportunity to say thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it will bring a lot of blessing into our lives. Shkayach. Thank you so much. My pleasure. I won't forget to count the Omer. I'm going to count it in like 3 minutes. L'chaim.